Stephanie Miller, weekdays from 10 till noon. This is the WHMP Morning News.
As I said earlier, where did the fall go? I mean, it's hard to believe, but 2 weeks from now, we'll be talking about Thanksgiving and then Christmas, but there's still plenty of fall at Clarkdale Fruit Farms in Deerfield, one of my favorite places since I was a kid. I've been going to this place. My mom used to take me up there, and that was the first time I met Tom Clark. Was I think I was probably 5 or 6, and I've been going there every year to buy not only great apples, but the best cider around. Ben Clark from Clarkdale Fruit Farm joins me in studio, as well as Phil Corman from CISA, part of our Local Heroes segment. I love your place. I have to say it, and I gush about this, but honestly, it's something that I grew up with. It's part of tradition. It's sort of like the Franklin County Fair, the leaves change. And weekend trips to Clarkdale are all part of just sort of like the zeitgeist for me. It's part of the landscape. So, and I think a lot of people probably feel that way because every time I go there, the damn place is full. So, and there's people buying cider and apples and cheese. Why do you love what you do as much as you do?
Why do I love what I do? Because I get to provide a healthy, fresh product to our local public. And also continuing our, I'm the fourth generation. So for the past 95 years, we've actually been in the same location and growing high-quality fruit.
Is it a lot of work? I mean, you have so many orchards and so many acres. I mean, that whole area, Deerfield, is pretty much yours, and that must mean a lot of time in the field.
Yeah, it's long hours. I mean, basically through the fall, we're doing averaging 10 to 12-hour days every day of the week. Since the market's open 7 days, we're picking. We have a picking crew during the week, and then obviously, on the weekends, you've seen we're very busy. So it is a more than full-time job, but it's definitely a labor of love as much as anything.
You had a couple of tough years with the weather conditions, but this year seems like, I mean, it's been great. Has it been? I mean, has it been as good as advertised?
Well, for some things. For the peaches, it was an amazing year. I mean, I think most everybody who had a local peach this year knows that across the board, everybody had an amazing bumper crop of peaches because peaches love hot, dry weather.
I don't, but peaches do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it gets a little uncomfortable. But with apples, apples want a little more water. And we were about 6 inches down on our water until we got the big rains in, I guess it was early October. And so apples actually really got hurt. We also got hit by the May 11th frost. Yeah. And so we lost about 30 to 40% of our crop. And so that was, we were definitely affected with our apples. And it's going to be a shorter season. The nice thing, with diversity, we have the peaches, which start us out early. And then we get into our apple crop, which really carries us through. And then, as you said, the cider, and we try to make use of all our apples.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, and when we talk, Phil, a lot about diversity and
right,
diversity
right.
of planting and the need for farmers to be able to do a lot of different things. So if you have a bad year for peaches, apples are going to be good. If you have a tough year for apples, you have a bumper peach crop. I mean, you have grapes mm-hmm. and pears. So, I mean, you're all over the place with all kinds of different things. So if one doesn't grow, you always have something on the other side ready for you.
And what's really amazing about what Clarkdale does is that they're able to sell everything they grow within 10 miles of the farm. Now, folks come from all over to the farm.
Better believe it.
But most of it is directly to the public, and then they do some to some of the local private and public schools right in the area. So it's really incredible that even before CISA, Clarkdale was doing the great work and getting it to people and building, a fourth-generation tradition here.
Now, I want to talk about the cider, which I noticed you didn't bring. You brought some last week, though, and I had some of it, and I'm going to pick up some probably on the way home today because just talking about this makes me want a huge glass of it. How do you produce it? I mean, I there's something about that stuff, and it's just me, but it seems like that tastes different from any kind of cider I've ever had. Is there something specific you do to it that's different than what somebody else does?
Well, we don't add anything. First of all, we don't. You're not hooked on anything. It's just apples.
It's a wood press, right?
What we had used a wood press for 50 some years, and we just actually upgraded this year. So it's the same system made actually by a company in Conway called Orchard Equipment, and who supplies all of. The country basically, and we're lucky to have them close by. But it is a hydraulic press, and what we do, we think, we do pretty small batches of cider, so we do a couple hundred gallons at a time, and compared to some bigger orchards that if they're doing 1,000 or 2,000 gallons, we are able to keep a really close watch on the mix, and we try to have, you know, the ripest apples and the best mix. So we try to do at least 4 to 5 different varieties to give it a more complex flavor and nice sweetness.
How many apples does it take to produce a gallon of cider? Have you broken that down?
If you break it down, a gallon produce, a bushel of apples on average is about 2.5 gallons of cider.
A bushel for 2.5 gallons. That seems like a lot of apples. Am I wrong about that?
It seems like a lot, but I mean, if you ever come to our pressing, when you squeeze out the apples, what's left is called pumice, P-O-M-A-C-E, and it looks basically like a dry, like an apple leather. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, all the water, or not all of it, but 90% or so has been removed, and the sugars. So it's a lot of work, but it is it's a great use for, you know, apples that are too ripe to sell otherwise. So we try to use everything in the orchard.
So when does the season for cider end?
Well, the season for us ends usually in about January, February.
Oh, so you're all the way through December.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we start pressing. This year we started early. We started the end of September, and then we'll go as long as we have apples. So our storage is running. We stop picking in November, and then we just keep the storage running and keep selling cider until we sell out.
How long can you store apples before they miss the window of being able
to
press?
Well, it depends on the variety. I mean, you really... We keep a close watch. So if something's getting too ripe, you know, we take out the good apples, the hard stuff to sell, and then anything that's getting too soft can press until it gets the one thing when we're making cider, we're pulling out all the anything that's rotten or you know.
Oh, of course.
Of course. So it's not going to go in the mix.
Exactly.
The same, you know, the whole story of one bad apple spoils.
Yeah, there you go.
So
Ben Clark's here from Clarkdale Fruit Farm along with Phil Corman from CISA. You brought a bunch of apples. By the way, none of those are leaving the building, just so you know.
I know. I didn't plan it.
You gotta get a cup, but you have different varieties, and the one that I've been missing, and you're now telling me it's there now, is the Janet Gold variety.
Yeah.
And I used to bring those in here, and I had a guy I worked with, I told you, who would eat them all on me, and I would have none left. But those are now in, when are those coming, like in October?
Those are in October, and those generally would run pretty late through the season. This year, like I said, we had the frost and the dry weather, so we're about 35% down or so. So those are going to be gone probably by before Christmas, I would say.
Now, what's the best pie apple? We're talking about Thanksgiving coming up. Is there a particular kind that's better than others?
Well, Cortland are very good.
My wife swears by those.
There you go. Northern Spy is another. This is which one I brought today, which is an heirloom variety. Right? Yep.
A little green for me.
It's a little green, but it's nice. It's really, really great flavor, and it holds up well in a pie, which most people
and want. Ice cream, I think.
And ice cream, yes. As Bart's is working
knows
on
all
a,
this stuff.
Bart's is working on an ice cream as well. So
are they really?
Yeah, working with Northern Spy apples.
So Bart's is going to put your Northern Spy apples into their ice cream.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
And you know, the other thing, part of my job is to let people know you have to think ahead a little bit. So we know that apples taste amazing this year, but we also know that our orchards are going to run out sooner. So if you're thinking through the winter, apples are a great way to think. And we still have a couple of markets still open in Greenfield and Amherst. And then we start looking at the winter markets, which start in Springfield, December 18th, Northampton, January 15th, and Greenfield.
February 5th.
February 5th in Greenfield. So that's your time to stock up for the winter. And apples will stay, I've done it, 4 weeks, no problem, in my cooler, in my refrigerator.
And like Phil says, is one thing with apples is you do want to keep them cold. And we keep our storage at 34 degrees. So most people, your fridge isn't going to be that cold. But you know, you want to, if you can keep them in the fridge, is great, and the crisper. The only thing people have to remember with apples, when they ripen, they give off ethylene, which is a natural in a ripening process. And so if you store them with carrots or something else, you are going to notice, you know, the carrots are going to wither a little and taste bitter. So just think of that. A lot of people, if you're going to store, we've actually gotten back into people storing apples, and people will come in and buy a bushel and keep it through the winter, like Phil's saying. And they'll actually, you know, people will have a root cellar or something in a garage, different ways to store. So, but there are these great markets, and CISA has really helped with getting the winter fair markets going the last couple of years. And then also the Amherst Farmers Market in Greenfield are going until the November 20th so that people can actually stock up for Thanksgiving right the week before.
That was a great piece in one of the papers about a big front page story about these winter markets.
That was the Recorder.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, I should know that because I work for them. Sorry about that, Tim. But it was great, and it really – I had no idea with that many of those winter markets.
Well, this has just exploded over the last couple of years, and we've been working with in Amherst. There's going to be an Amherst winter market every single Saturday. Michael Doctor, formerly of the Food Bank Farm,
right,
and now with his own farm and root vegetables, he's been working with Ruth Hazard and others, and we were able to get some USDA money to help support that effort, which is great. There'll be an ongoing winter market in Thorne's Marketplace again this year. And then down in Springfield, Belle Rita, who is sort of the amazing farmer market manager down in Springfield, she'll have one going every other Saturday.
And that's at Forest Park, I
believe. Yes, Forest Park.
This past weekend when Saturdays happened, did you have – I would assume that event like that would probably bring a whole bunch of new faces. And I would think you have tremendous tourist traffic. Do you have a lot of foliage traffic that comes through?
Yes. The foliage traffic, and this year we did have some great foliage earlier in the fall. And we have we had our big Columbus Day festival, which is always a big success. And we get a lot of people up from Springfield and Connecticut as well, because we are, you know, we're sort of a destination for the local area, but we also have return people from Amherst, Northampton. You know, more people coming up over the years. Other orchards have closed, and we're just trying to get the word out. And I think that's one thing that we have the advantage of having, our same space for four generations is, like you're saying, it carries through all those years.